no longer allowed to order the lunch. I'm still going to follow that. It's unfortunate for this committee that the membership of this multi-departments caucus, it's a membership from committees. Members, they are just out of committees, and now they can't have a lunch in their committees. And most of us, we are human beings, we are not well, we are taking medication. So when we are trying to solve one problem, there comes another problem. My apology about that. And fortunately, I was thinking that they are doing it to ourselves, multi-partners caucus. Other chairpersons, they were saying even to their committees. But this multi-partners caucus, it's something else. That membership of the multi-partners caucus is sitting from 9:30 to 1 o'clock from other committees. You don't have chance to eat. And I'll need your support on that. If it means that we must break the rule, this committee, it needs to be looked at. I'm taking this opportunity to open this meeting because at 1:30, I must see the doctor. I'm not that bad. I'm healing. I do have my deputy chairperson, but I'm suspecting that after he recessed, the membership of the multi-departments caucus, it has been busy preparing what you know you are from it, what you know that you are not yet finished. You needed to go to the plenary to give your reports on your recommendations from your committees. It has been a busy week, 2 weeks ago. And it is unfortunate that after we finish one other workshop that the multi-departments caucus conducted of the MDGs and the committee proceeded, it happened that UNDP asked us that because ECOP-17 is everybody's terrain, and they wanted that they must have a workshop for women, especially women. And they were saying that let the Office of the House Chairperson give permission that the multi-departments caucus must have their own workshop, because sometimes when we are in one committee, these workshops have been taking on, and the majority of us who are affected by the climate change have been not attending those meetings. They've agreed to us that we'll be having a workshop of 2 days. The unfortunate part, on our last meeting, there were presenters all over, international, national, and the like. But because you were in those meetings of your committees, the attendance was very poor. We invited even the provinces. But one other thing happened. It happened that the same Office of House Chairperson agreed upon that the NCOP also must have a workshop on the same day. So it was unfortunate for us, but there were few women that after their meeting, they rushed to the meeting. Today we are here, we are saying that let's come and present the presentations of that workshop. Those who were present, they wanted to discuss the report. They wanted to propose some things on the report, but they couldn't. Today, my office, with due respect to the steering committee, that it was supposed to be our meeting of steering committee, they've decided on behalf of ourselves that let's not have a steering committee, let's call call the fully fledged meeting that our researcher and the, our PA, they've prepared, consolidated the presentation that today they must brief us on gender climate change workshop, and then we must discuss and have way forward. It was unfortunately that day we didn't have a fully fledged committee. I know I made apologies on behalf of your good self, because provinces, they will be thinking that there's no need that they must have provincial caucuses, because they always, when they come to national, no one. But I've explained, as I'm explaining to you, to themselves, what happened on that day. Let me take this opportunity saying that the task is so big to multi-department caucus. Every now and then, some other things are shifted to this multi-department caucus that we must run whilst there are committees who are responsible for. Who are responsible for some task, but sometimes we just get informed by the presiding office that at least if you can take this for especially women, it will assist the parliament. With those words, I'm saying that we're back again. We have been here for 2 weeks, but not for a multi-party women's caucus, and you know that. We're not dealing with any legislation. We're dealing with issues that you know. I'm saying that the agenda is in front of you. I'm open and welcome you. If we can go to apologies, if you don't mind. I don't have apologies with me. Even the written one, I don't know with my office. They didn't give me any apologies.
So, Chairperson, the apologies that I received, in fact, I was indicating, I indicated them in the register that is going through.
Okay. Anyone who want to give us an apology?
I don't know whether Patty Duncan spoke to you, but if not, I submit apologies for her. Thank you.
Thank you.
don't know, but I just feel that I must raise that question.
Thank you, Honorable. With being chairperson of my department's caucus, this is the first meeting that I'm reporting that we have this bereavement. So I'm not yet having a delegation of my department's caucus going there. Maybe that it must be taken by this forum. So I'll just respond on that. I'm not having a multi-party women's caucus delegation to the deputy speaker's own visit. I'm clarifying part of the multi-party caucus to your honorable chair.
Let me say the concern is noted, because we were asked, it's not only women that are there. I was asked by the deputy chief whip that they are going there. Is it possible to get 2 to 3 women to accompany them, because they do not know how to sing and pray? So I want to apologize to deputy that you are right. Maybe we should have thought of going there as the multi-party caucus. So I think it's something that we should note, that when one of us lost a parent or child, we should go there as multi-party. So I'm really, you know, taken by surprise. I never thought of it. Thank you very much.
Can I respond to that? Surely it was a party arrangement. So that's why I was saying that this is the first time that we're here and officially we're reporting that. Thanks for that, Mouse, and Honorable Trade. And I'm hoping that women will before the end of the meeting, they will try to speak to the deputy chairperson or steering committee member, Honorable Chwede, through the office, UPA, when can we go and visit? I'm sure I'm closing in that note. Let's go to point number 3. Our researcher or our PA must take us through.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to all the honourable members. We held a workshop on climate change and gender on the 19th of October, and this workshop was supported, we partnered with the United Nations Development Programme. And I think part of the confusion around our climate change events in the NCOP is perhaps overdrive of climate change events in Parliament with the run-up to COP17. But the purpose of our workshop was really to deal with climate change issues that impact on women, and to get specifically women parliamentarians involved in sort of thinking through what are some of the issues that will affect women and how they need to deal with those in their respective committees. The program consisted of topics like the politics of climate change, the role of women parliamentarians in climate change, and South African women's sports and perspectives, and that really reflected what the Commission on Gender Equality, the workshops that they did in the provinces, looking at what ordinary women and, of course, civil society organizations that work with women in communities, what their thoughts were around climate change. We also had expert presentations on climate change finance, agriculture and food security, disaster risk reduction, and mitigation, energy, and technology. Just as a short disclaimer before going into the details, I'm in no way a climate change expert, so I will present what the presenters put forward in the workshop as to the technicalities and any questions of clarity. I think I can forward those questions to the experts if it's something I cannot answer, because I'm not a climate change expert at all. Okay, on climate change and agriculture and food security, the issues that came out regarding the link between gender, climate change and agriculture centered around the fact that women are quite critically involved in food security because of their responsibilities in the home as well as their responsibilities in food production. And women's involvement in food security was broken down in terms of food production as active food producers, food access, because women need to ensure that families receive adequate share of food, and they're responsible for purchasing food, and they devote their time and their income to this. And then food utilization, because they're responsible for the nutrition of their family members, and they decide what foods to buy and how to prepare the food. In terms of mainstreaming gender into agriculture and security and food security, it was noted that there isn't usually a focus on the gendered perspectives of agriculture and food security when discussions of climate change take place, and that the operations of agricultural development are often gender blind, and what is needed is a closer look at issues of access to land, rural labor markets, financial services for women, social capital, which would happen through women's groups, as well as a technology gap, because most women are involved in subsistence farming. Usually the level of technology that they use in food production is not very high. And the kinds of changes that are required to mainstream gender within national agriculture development and food security, things like increasing technical capacity, accountability to gender policies, and creating a supportive culture, the kinds of norms, values, and attitudes that will ensure that women's issues or how climate change affects women within the agricultural sector are taken into consideration. In terms of key considerations and actions that need to be taken, because climate change impacts on food security, it was suggested that perhaps because there's a lack of data around how climate change, and specifically in agriculture, how it affects women, it was suggested that needs to be one of the priorities, one of the key issues for consideration. And that opportunities to address gender inequalities should be looked at in terms of access to land and capital, credit, agricultural inputs, education, and appropriate technology. There was a need identified to build men's capacity to allow them to understand that achieving gender equality doesn't benefit women only, that it benefits them as well. And where gender inequalities are enshrined in cultural practices, that this needs to be reflected on and redressed. And it was noted that it's imperative that a gender analysis be applied to all actions on climate change, and that gender experts are consulted in climate change processes so that the needs of women are prioritized and identified. On
disaster risk reduction. The expert that we had just spoke about how disasters impact women in particular. Well, she noted that obviously when there's a natural disaster, it affects men and women, but that it may affect them differently because women are more vulnerable to disaster. One of the things she noted in particular was in the aftermath of disasters, that gender inequalities were exacerbated because of increased workload when either homes are lost or property is lost, access to water is affected, that women and girls will usually have an increase in workload because women are responsible for feeding the family, for making sure there's water, making sure clothes are clean, ensuring that the home is clean. So they usually bear the burden of the aftermath of disasters. And you suggested that methods and tools for reducing the effects of disasters need to be gender sensitive as well. And some of the useful tools should be, for example, doing risk and vulnerability assessments, creating early warning systems, and having guidelines for disaster risk reduction. But that these policies and guidelines should obviously take women into consideration. And in terms of developing a gendered approach.
Sorry, Chair. Chairperson. I'm lost because there are so many documents. I arrive now, so I need your indulgence. I need to know which paper she presenting on.
Okay, my apologies. There is a report. There's the draft report on the climate change workshop. All the other documents are the actual presentations from the workshop. So the one I'm looking at right now is the draft report. Oh, right now I'm on page 9. Intervention should look at women's role in the home, in the community, and deal with, or at least prepare them in terms of that. And then as concluding remarks, men and women are affected by gender, by climate change, but the gender inequalities exacerbate women's vulnerability to disasters, and gender shapes how vulnerable women are and their capacity to cope with disasters. And it just, the presentation concluded by saying that, you know, women need to be more active and in the forefront of developing ways to either adapt and to counter whatever effects disasters have. And then on the topic of mitigation, energy and technology, by and large the presentation was around renewable energies and how cost-effective moving to a low-carbon economy would be. We've just put in the report some of the stats on electricity consumption. Obviously, the fact that as we continue to develop, electricity consumption will increase. But that at the moment, obviously, industry is the biggest consumer of electricity. But that often ordinary citizens also, they pay quite a high price for electricity, and it will, the price for fuel and for electricity will continue to rise. But that one of the biggest I suppose disadvantages, or one of the reasons given for not investing in renewable energy, is that the investment will be, the cost will be too high. But studies have shown that while the initial investment will be high, as we continue to use alternative energy sources, that the cost to the consumer will actually decrease. So the presentation was around championing renewable energies, especially because women, as the people responsible for food production in the home, for taking care of families, that they often are the ones that bear the cost of high electricity, high transport costs, and food prices. Some of the suggested actions by the presenter included having more interdepartmental cooperation in terms of investing in renewable energies and skills training. There was a suggestion that foreign affairs and industry work together to attract investors, and that public enterprises in energy should work out how to direct ESCOM to achieve new aims, and then focusing on skills development for women. What was highlighted as possible over the next 5 years was that the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Partnership had recommended that we would spend 10% to 20% of our current electricity spend on renewables, and that the country should kickstart the alternative energy industry and build this economy, and to finance education for women, especially in rural areas. On the final presentation on climate change and finance, the presenter highlighted the different mechanisms for financing adaptation and mitigation efforts. But what came out strongly was that women needed to be directly involved, either in creating a national platform for accessing funds, because often the funds are flow in from international organizations, and ordinary women have no way of actually accessing these funds, and that a properly structured climate change finance would have the potential to achieve climate change goals and also promoting poverty reduction. It was also suggested that climate change financing should seek to benefit both men and women in the formal and informal sectors of the economy. And it should focus not only on industry, but also on transforming and upgrading the livelihoods of women and men in order to promote the necessary behavioral and institutional changes that are important for securing climate change objectives. Some of the recommendations on addressing the needs and perspectives of both men and women included establishing a national climate change coordination mechanism, which can coordinate financing at the national level, to require that gender analysis tools are incorporated into all phases of program design, implementation, and also monitoring and evaluation, to include gender policies and guidelines and gender action plans, establish gender-based criteria in fund allocation and project selection to ensure that women and gender experts have effective and balanced participation in planning and decision making. And then in terms of promoting access for women, to include resources for capacity building, particularly for women and community-based organizations, to provide support for women to start and scale up green entrepreneurial activities, to direct government subsidies and other fiscal measures towards small-scale and women-run projects that would otherwise not be able to have access to financing, to create special application procedures for gender-sensitive adaptation and mitigation projects, and to promote women's access to credit through accessing climate change funding, and to grant commercial entities targeted tax write-offs or subsidies to support gender-sensitive adaptation and mitigation projects. During the workshop, the key questions that were put forward for each of those very technical aspects of climate change included, you know, what are some of the aspects of climate change that have a particularly negative impact on women's lives? What interventions would have the most desirable impact on women's lives? And then given members' influence on policy and oversight, what actions or tools or platforms are available to members to ensure that climate change decision-making is beneficial for women, and then what systems can be created to ensure a sustained and consistent process for engaging on issues of climate change in a meaningful way. One of the things we really tried not to do was to have one workshop, have a report, and then perhaps have another event next year. The point of the workshop was to share information and knowledge, but with the view to create a process, a consistent process for looking at climate change issues from a gendered perspective. The mandate of the caucus is specifically to look at how parliamentary activities, and in this case the climate change process that's taking place right now, how this committee can give input on a gender perspective and ensure that Parliament's processes and activities take that into consideration. And I mean, it's COP17 now, and there will be another COP after this one, and in between, there needs to be a process of continuous engagement with the caucus within Parliament on how to ensure that the negotiations, whether it's COP17 or the next negotiations, take into account how our position or how the negotiations will impact on women's lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to our researcher for presenting this report to us. In fact, if we look at it, it says draft report of multi-party women's caucus on gender implications of climate change. It hasn't been, you know, not yet approved by this committee. Hence, it says it's still a draft. Before that, on the 19th, I just want to make mention of this, what I'm saying now. On the 19th of October, we had a wonderful workshop whereby we had invited the best presenters who knew what is meant by climate change, the women. They came there, the provinces were present. Unfortunately, I would be very happy if we were at this number. And I want to thank those who did attend. I heartily have to thank them who made it happen that the workshop could go ahead. We were trying to prepare the ladies, our women, for the workshop that took place on the 28th and the 29th, raise climate change. That was just a good preparation, but unfortunately, I can't accuse you. You were not able to attend. But I still feel, I just have to make mention of it in passing, by the way. And number five, today is a Wednesday, girls. Plenary sitting starts at what time? At 3. So we adjourn at 2:30. Yes. Thank you very much, network. Now, we continue with our agenda. We go to item number 4, which is discussions and way forward. By the way, we don't have time. And I must try and cut short, because I'm just directing. I'm just directing. I'm not a speaker. No, not now. Item number 4, discussions and way forward. Yes. Mamza. That's how check the thing goes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was one of the people that attended the workshop, and I want to highlight the fact that most members on that day, it was a very bad day, that there were other meetings, and we did tell the people that were in the workshop that the programming is not very good, that most of the people who did not attend were in other meetings. But I do want to say climate change is let me use the word, very new to us. It's something that we're not used to. But we see, you know, now with other countries, even here in South Africa, like in KwaZulu-Natal and Duduza and other places where you find a tornado, like, you know, within 5 minutes, damage, a lot of damage is actually showing that there is something big which is coming. And my worry is the recommendation that I see on page 17, if I'm right. And there are recommendations and which are mentioned in the report, which I think there are key challenges. Maybe at this forum of the Women's Caucus, last week in the caucus, we were talking about the attendance of people to the climate change. We need to make sure that in the coming COP17, we are presented as Women's Caucus in Durban. We might have other women that would be presented, and maybe whether it's the chairperson of the caucus should also attend the workshop so that we get the reports like this. But I want to say I'm a bit worried about the information that needs to go to provinces. The ordinary women in the rural areas might not know what we mean by climate change. We do have a serious responsibility as members of parliament to disseminate information concerning climate change. And the other thing which was highlighted in that workshop was that we need each and every department to make sure that, like, I want to make an example of agriculture, for instance. The agriculture, because climate change is going to affect even, you know, labor. I'm saying this because I see the Minister of Labor is here. It's going to affect the workers, many departments, social development is going to be affected because there will be many disasters. But the other thing which was highlighted by the presenter, Sonjita said, I'm not quite sure, but it was highlighted that we should be careful of, you know, leading. I did ask this question to her, what do you mean by leading as South Africa in the climate change? But I think the answer was, we do not have enough money. Other countries must also contribute to climate change. But because this coming workshop is inviting whether all countries or not, but other countries must also contribute to climate change. My last issue, Chair, is that the way I see it, we as members of parliament are supposed to be going and inviting first the weather ministers or deputy ministers to tell us the preparations concerning climate change. I want to mention agriculture and social development, because we now need to be ready for it in terms of funding. What are they doing now? Because we're not going to wait until it comes. I heard somebody was saying planting of trees now is very important, that the trees are planted to avoid soil erosion. So I'm sure there are preparations that are happening in the departments that we don't know concerning climate change. I want to say, as this forum, maybe we need to look at all the committees involved and invite them to give us more information so that when we go to our constituencies, we are able to do what we're told. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. thank you very much, because you have helped me to elaborate on what I wanted to say. It is unfortunate because these days the language that we speak, it's climate change. All departments, it's climate change. Today, though the Water and Environmental Affairs is taking sort of a lead, because when, as you know, today we are busy with the white paper. Today we had Dr. Abrams, who is a commissioner, who is a commissioner of gender equality. She was addressing our members of the portfolio today, and we had another very hot group of women who was addressing the portfolio committee. It is an insane, and it's such a disgrace, you know, for a member of parliament not to know what is meant by climate change just because she doesn't attend. Because now there are meetings, left and right, workshops, you name it. And it, the organizers, I even said, let me say, on the 19th, when those girls were doing their thing, I'm telling you, they were so simple and straight to the point. I just said, if they can take them to the ICC in Durban, I'm telling you, that conference will be a success. Because they were coming to do that to help us. But nevertheless, I'm not going to go back and repeat what Pam has been saying, but there was a proposal. How about us trying to get some of our ministers to come and help us through? Because we seem to be very rich. We've got them. And I'm happy. Welcome, Minister. And Deputy Minister. Oh, God. Ningazilahli, zime ngani, mantombazane. Ehe, sibheke kini nje. And again, well, I think that proposal, we need to look at it. Because time and tide waits for no man. It never waits. Time is very short. So, I don't know. Because now we say way forward. What is our way forward? Is to try and get them coming to tell us more about climate. But I made it a point to outlaw what they are saying. I'm a climate change. Serving in that portfolio committee. Yes, I made it a point to attend each and every until I got it right.
No, thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I think it is true that it's a very, very good information for us as women, because really when you talk about climate change, we are more victims than anybody with our children. We stay in unsafe structures. As you know, we don't have resources, and we are the victims of circumstances. Firstly, Chair, I want to support the proposal made by Honorable Yes, no, the one to say that we need a delegation from this forum to COP17, and the one to say that we must mobilize our ministers, in particular women ministers. To Chair, I think it is very important to say that when we had this presentation, they made the presentation and recommendation. Because of the short space of time to discuss this, maybe it will be important to look at the recommendations that were made by the presenters, whether we agree with those recommendations that we are adding. Because if we start from scratch, I don't think we can finish and have a way forward on these important matters. Also, Chair, on the issue of awareness to rural communities or women, I think I agree with you, Chair, to say that we need, it was the Honorable Chwete, who said that we need to take this information to the provinces. Maybe also when they mobilize the women in different provinces, we have people from this forum going there, you know, conscientizing those women in rural areas, because really they are the victims of disasters. And we are using big terms, climate change. You know, if you say climate change, what is that? COP 17, what is that? So if we simplify these terms as was done by ECGE, you know, they were even indicating that in the deep rural areas, people are not aware about this thing because they are still even building houses in the disaster areas, you know. So if we can make that awareness, because if you don't have information, you become the first victim. And also to say, what will be our role as women parliamentarians, you know, in influencing, because the problem is resources. Having women having this, their homes in a safe land, because they say we don't have land as women. And we end up going to the rivers and building your own unsafe structure there. And you become the victim of circumstances. I will therefore, Chair, say that maybe if we can focus on the recommendations to take it forward, whether is it what we are agreeing, because when we talk with our ministers, when we invited them, Chair, we'll be saying the problem is capacity, the problem is information, how do we move there, maybe to get like funding, you know. And also in our constituent offices, Madam Chair, I think it will be very important that we take this campaign of awareness to our constituent offices as members of parliament. Just call women in your area and then you brief them about this. We have information with us. Maybe you could really assist us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
In fact, we are here as parliamentarians representing our communities, and we are always trying hard to speak the language of their level. It's very, very, very important. So,
by the way,
Gracias.
person has had to say that time is short. Jane, should you leave?
No, I was saying,
Chair, we must comment on the proposal that is in front of us. I raise my hand to comment on it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and thanks to the honorables who have spoken before me. Honorable Chotez even cited the examples under recommendation, the examples of Duduza, KZN. Climate change is new, as the chair said. The name is new, but the incidences are old. What is lacking in all the analysis is the psychological effects. If we can have somebody who can give us an input on psychological effects and the psychological preparedness, because it's a real thing, this thing. It comes now and again, it goes. But people are left psychologically not prepared, before coming and after it has passed by. And we see so many family disunities and deep-seated, unhealed types of incidences. So I don't know, we do have psychologists even among our honorable ministers, they can give us the psychological effects so that you can have, when we take it to our constituencies as it has been recommended, we know that it does have psychological impacts on our communities and how best can we cap those disasters mentally and otherwise to our people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I'm here as a woman parliamentarian, not as the minister. Chair, firstly, my proposal would be one. We need to invite Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, who will be the president in the COP17. My understanding, COP means the Committee of Parties, and this is the 17th meeting after the establishment of that committee. And secondly, we also need to invite the Minister of Water Affairs and Environment, Water Environmental Affairs, Minister Edna Molewa, because she's the one who's going to lead the delegation, and she's also the one who's going to lead the negotiations. And I would say before adopting or agreeing on these proposed issues before us, we need firstly to get the mandate of South Africa. Because one, your responsibility as parliamentarians is to make oversight over the executive in terms of what has been agreed upon. And at the same time, in terms of the contribution as women parliamentarians, I think you will have a space, provided you are going to discuss that with the relevant presiding officers, particularly the House Chairperson, because whenever it comes to the delegation, they have to insist that the delegation should also include women delegates. But as multi-party women's caucus, you do have a regional structure, that is the regional women's caucus, of which, at SADC level, where comrade or the chairperson of this committee represent us as a country, and also through the CPA and IPU and also PAP, we do have members who are sitting there, and as women I believe that we are represented in all those structures, and therefore even when the parliamentary delegation is compiled, then you must demand that you must be part of that delegation as women's caucus. Precisely because there are issues that relate to women on the issues of climate change.
I'm raising these issues precisely because, one, I think the other challenge, particularly when we invite the ministers, is that I think you are far behind with the preparation. And there are also members of parliament who are serving in technical committees, of which they were elected in COP, I think it's COP 16 and COP 15, of which I believe that you have to utilize those members, because now and again, they sit in those structures, and they are part and parcel of preparations, and therefore, in order for you to get the exact information of what is going to happen, then it's better to invite those people. I know that the Chairperson of Science and Technology is one of them who sits on the COP 17 prep committee. It's a technical committee, and that technical committee is the key one. And also the Chairperson of Energy, if you can also invite the former Chairperson of Energy and also the former Chairperson of Water and Environmental Affairs and the current one, and also the Chairperson of Agriculture, because those were the chairpersons who were sometimes led some discussions, particularly in COP 16. And I think after that, then you will understand what were the resolutions that were taken, and then you build on those resolutions that were taken in COP 16, and then ask the ministers to give you the progress report in terms of what has been implemented and what were the challenges, and then how then can you resolve those challenges. And I also believe that since there will be a session of legislatures, that's where also you have to say what is the mandate of South Africa. And the mandate from you as parliamentarians should not differ from the mandate of the South African government, because at the end of the day, the implementers would be the government, but I know that indirectly they are going to come up with a program of saying what then are you going to do as parliamentarians in terms of monitoring what will happen after COP 17. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Martelis Ushoge Watching in Dombazane, that's the South Africa market, Long Shama. We seem to be very rich. I mean, about people who can help us within. And remember, there's one very important point I've just mastered, that, you know, the resolutions taken from COP 16, we've got to build on them. Because I was not at Cancun, you know. I don't know what was said. We, most of us, some way, but some of us. Then from those resolutions, something can come up. Well, we've got quite a number of them, too. But now, maybe I can just give the girls, I'm coming to you, I'll just give the girls 2 minutes to say something from the direction who means the person you like on. Now, we are seeing what enriching us. Yes, Ms. Robson.
Thank you, Chair. I think that our Minister of Labour has given us a good direction, and we should just get on with it. While we can try and expand the knowledge amongst people in our caucuses who are not here at the moment, they have you know, interfaced in various other things. So I think there is a lot of knowledge, but yes, let's go ahead and just follow that path. We can still have another session if people can't attend. Some of us have been at one or the other, but the documentation is rich, and if we read that, I think we will know where we're going. Unfortunately, time is very precious, and we struggle to get to meetings. So I'm happy to follow that path and see where we go from there. Thank you.
Are we on a call?
Yes. Thank you very much. Jane Mangani. Say something.
I keep saying, Gauri, but the minister will hold up a call. So I was saying, Chairperson, we do have this white paper. COP17, climate change, it doesn't end at Durban. So we need to look at the white paper if there are issues that we wanted next time, because the white paper will be time and again be influenced by us, because climate change can't be done with people who are going to attend the COP17 only. I was saying we must look into the white paper, and after looking, then we must contribute to say what he's saying about the gender. And then in terms of this issue of information, I think the government is trying to do well. To me, it's trying. It's just us to assist the government, because recently the Department of Environment, they've just launched the awareness train. It's just we must take the information that in which day the train will be in our provinces, so that those people who doesn't belong in this August house must know that the train will be in this province in this time, so that they must be able to go and assist, especially those who are in like myself, Bapuma Edwardsberg. We need to know about it. I mean, the people at the rural, especially indigenous knowledge, they are there. We do have. So if we can attend, I think we will make it happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In fact, item 4 was discussions and way forward. As far as the way I feel we are covered, I really feel we are covered. The only thing is just that from here, the study committee has to sit down and try something, then we call the girls together. Thank you very much for coming. It has been one of our best meetings. The deputy. Mama.
Just 2 minutes, Chair. Thank you very much. I think it's important what Minister Oliphant said, that when we are here as members of caucus. That's very important to us. But what I want to say is, personally, I'm very pained about this juncture between members of parliament and the executive. I think as the Women's Caucus, let's try and close that gap. It has always been there, but now one has the opportunity of seeing it very closely. And it's not good. Today we were almost having the final preparations of COP17, but our own members have no idea, and I don't think that is correct. Even on the issue that has been raised by Mamchwete, the issues of funding, women parliamentarians need to know, how do you access this green fund and all these funds that are supposed to be supporting COP17. To have it here but not understanding how you have access to it is of no value to us. But generally, besides COP17, I am saying, as the Women's Caucus, I think
we should use that as a platform or a tool to close this wide gap. The gap is very big between us, and I'm saying us as members of parliament and the executive. I mean, they should not be far ahead with information and members lagging behind. Thank you very much.